end of the 40-day journey in the Red Letter Challenge. And I hope you have just been blessed and encouraged and challenged and inspired, that God has moved you to the next level because of this book, the Red Letter, meaning the words of Jesus Christ in the New Testament. And so today brings us to the end, and we have this week yet to read up and the rest of it. And so I encourage you to finish that up. That's important. So far, Pastor Don has covered being, forgiving, serving, giving. And today our focus is going to be on going out and doing what God would have us to do. Look at this in the sense that the past 4 weeks, God has prepared us to take the next step, to go out and do what Jesus will have us to do. Jesus didn't say, guys, go out there, God bless you, go and make disciples. No, but all of these areas, meaning the being, the forgiving, the serving, the giving, all of these areas, Jesus realized that at some point in time in their ministry that they are going to encounter these areas. So Jesus prepared them so when that does come up, that they would have the right response to that. Jesus realized that. But importantly, very, very important, is that the being part, as we have heard before, is a must. We must confess Jesus Christ as our Lord and personal Savior. We must have Him in our hearts. We must have that experience and also to live it out before we can go out and tell others about Jesus Christ. We cannot give away or tell people about something that we don't personally have. And what we do have is that relationship with Jesus Christ that has changed our lives, and that is what we are going out there to talk about. You remember the Apostle Paul? He was persecuting the church, the Christians, breaking up meetings and everything else, until one day on the Damascus Road, he was stopped and he was blinded. And he became a changed individual from that point. He was no longer breaking up churches and putting Christians into jail. He was a changed person, and that was very evident in his life. And now he could tell others about Jesus Christ. But people were still afraid of him. They would not allow him to get close to him. Maybe they had the COVID at that time and didn't realize it. They would not allow him to get close to them. Only big-hearted Barnabas welcomed him. And he saw, because he saw the change in his life, and he encouraged people to accept him. And daily he lived out the Christian life, and that's what we are called to do. We're going to look at the main scripture this morning in Matthew 28, verse 16 to 20. But let me say this. When somebody is dying or leaving, his or her last words are very important. And I don't know if you were present at an occasion or at an event where someone gave their last word and testament about something. Maybe somebody says something like, you are the man of the house now, you're going to have to take care of things. Stay focused. Stay in school. Do what you're supposed to do. Trust Jesus. And those were the last words that maybe some of us have heard before. Rick Warren, most of you know that name, told a story about his dad. But Rick wrote the book, The Purpose-Driven Church and The Purpose-Driven Life. And Rick Dad was a church builder. He built churches all over the mission field. He was like a church planter. He was a missionary. And on his dying bed, he attempted to get up, to lift himself up. And he says, "One more for Jesus. One more for Jesus." And folks, those words, if we could just get hold of them for us personally, as we decide to go out, that we are going to say, "One more for Jesus. One more for Jesus." And even when that one come home, we will continue to say, as long as God give us the grace and the strength, that we will say, "One more for Jesus. One more for Jesus." Jesus left his disciples with these last words, and I would like to share that with you. The reading in my Bible may be a little bit different from you, because I'm reading from the NIV, and it reads thus: Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you, and surely I am with you always to the end of the age." I would like for us to look at three important things in this passage of Scripture. And first of all, Jesus assured them of his power. He assured them of his power. In verse 18, he says to them that all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. And now I am giving you, the disciples, now I'm giving you the power and the authority to go and do the same. If someone asks you, "By whose right are you doing these things, talking about Jesus?" Tell them that by the power and the authority of Jesus Christ. And Jesus has given them that power and that authority to do that. You know, that must have blown their mind to think that they are going to have the same power and the authority that Jesus had. I'm probably saying, "You mean that we can do all these things that you, Jesus, did?" And Jesus probably said, "Yes." We can't seem today, even as Christians, to comprehend that thought that Jesus Christ will give us that power and authority. And I believe that if we can grasp that we will be able to do a lot more for him. But somehow we need to wrap our mind around that Jesus Christ says that I am going to give you the power and the authority to do all of this. So Jesus assured them his power, and we have the same assurance today. But power to do what? Number one, power to be bold. Power to be fearless. That they can walk the streets with their heads lifted high, that they will not be afraid of the religious leaders. Who are we most intimidated by when we think of sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ? Presidents, managers, CEOs, businessmen, principals, teachers, other professional people, because we feel that we are not qualified enough, or I will make a mess out of things. But Jesus told them that you are going to be bold. You are going to take the gospel of Jesus Christ without fear. And you will tell people that Jesus loved them and he cared. Also, power to speak with clarity. That the message of Jesus Christ will be clear. They would fully understand what it all meant. that there will be no doubt in their mind what they are trying to tell them, and that is about the love of Jesus Christ. When God called Moses, Moses began to make excuses and says, I am not a public speaker. I'm slow to speak. And sometimes the words will not come out of my mouth. I'm not the one to do this. And God says, don't worry about it, that when the time comes, I will make it happen through you. And many times we see ourselves in similar situation where we want to tell someone and we feel that we are not qualified. And God seems to say, when the moment is right, I'm going to help you. The words are going to come out of your mouth, and that you would not believe how this all is going to happen. So God is going to be right there with us. So power to be bold, power to speak with clarity, and power to have confidence. Power to have confidence in what we are going to share. Where we will not worry about the outcome, or we would not worry about what's going to happen. I wonder if the people would listen to me. I wonder if they would follow us. I wonder if they will come to our gathering or to the church where we invite them to. And God seems to be saying, don't worry about that. That's my job. I am going to do that. You just go out there and do your thing. And remember what the promise says, that his word will not return unto him void, but it shall accomplish what he desired. And God, that's God's promise to all of us today, is for us to do our part. And he's saying that I will give you the power and the authority to do that. And secondly, what came out of this passage is that he gave them a commission. He gave them a commission. In verse 19 and 20, it says, therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. Another passage of scripture in Luke chapter 14, we would look at in verse 21 and 23. This is the story of the great banquet, where the invitation was given. It was time for them to come in and just be there and have a good time. And they all began to make excuses. One guy says he bought a field and he has to go and see it. Another guy says that I bought 5 yoke of oxen. I have to go try them out. Another guy says that I just got married. I cannot come. And so this is where I want you to focus on as well. When the servants came back and reported to the master, meaning reported all the excuses, then the owner of the house became angry and ordered his servants. He says, go out quickly. Go out quickly into the streets and the alleys and the tongue, and bring in the poor, the crippled, the blind, the lame. Sir, the servant said, what you have ordered has been done, but there is still room in my house. Then the master told his servant, go out to the roads and the country lanes and make them come in so that my house will be full. And folks, this is the crux of this whole thing, is that when Jesus Christ says for us to go out so that his house will be full, so that God's kingdom will be built, so daily people will be added to the church and being part of the kingdom of God. So he said to them, go out. And the master said, when he saw all of this and people came to the banquet and they had a great time, we don't want to miss the banquet. And we don't want others to miss the banquet. And so therefore, we would go out and we would bring them in so that, as the scripture says, that his house will be filled. So he came, he gave them that commission. And the commission he gave them, he said, I want you to go out and make disciples. That's one. So what does it mean to make a disciple of Jesus Christ? It would be a lot easier if, you know, we have some Play-Doh and we could just form little guys and, you know, that's a lot easier. But to make disciples of people, what does that mean? It simply means that to tell people, to help them to realize that we are all sinners and we need a Savior. To tell people to take a step of faith and accept Jesus Christ as the Lord and Savior, where life will take on new meaning and direction. And that's our job. That's our job to do that, to go out there and make disciples. And then he says, I want you to baptize them. I want you to baptize them after you make disciples. I want you to know that baptism in itself does not make someone a Christian. Baptism unites a believer with Jesus Christ. Baptism symbolizes submission to Jesus Christ. Baptism is a willingness to live God's way. Baptism is identifying with God's people. And baptism is a public declaration of faith in Jesus Christ. And very simply put, in layman's term, baptism is an outward sign of an inward experience. So the experience itself comes first. Baptism is only the evidence that has taken place in your life. And then I want you to teach them. I want you to educate them. I want you to help them to obey everything that Christ is teaching. Teach them. Move them from being a babe in Christ so that they can grow and they can mature and be strong. Be a mentor to them. Maybe God is calling you to be a mentor to somebody. I don't know who that individual might be or that person, but as you think this morning, as you are listening, you are probably thinking of someone that you could be a mentor to help them to grow and to be closer to God to you. And then another thing that came out of this passage of scripture is that he promised them a presence. He promised them a presence. In verse 20, the B part, it says, and surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. It must have been a staggering thing for these 11 Galileans to be sent forth to conquer the world. But even as they heard that, their hearts must have failed them. But no sooner was the command given that the promise followed. And they said, I will be with you. And I could just see them wiping off the sweat off the brow. Oh, Jesus is going to be with us. The Holy Spirit is going to be with us. And not only for a moment, or for a short time, or a special occasion, but the word says that he will be with them forever, even to the end of the age. As we think more of going out today, and to whom shall we go? And I would like for us to see this as we bring this home to where you want to say that where the rubber meets the road. And first of all, we want to go to our families. We want to go to our families. I know, folks, as well as you do, that families are the toughest people to witness to about Jesus Christ. They have been divisions in families. Families had not been talking to each other because of the other person's faith. They have been friction. So what do we do in situation like this? You may have a son or a daughter or a brother or a sister or even your parents who do not believe in Jesus Christ. But we continue to pray for them. We continue to love them. We continue to care for them. We continue to demonstrate a Christian life before them. And folks, that is what we need to do. We never give up on our family. We never give up on our children. But continue to pray. At some point in time, God is going to do something. We need to go to our friends. People that you hang out with. People that you go out to eat. They come to your house. You go to their house. And then you look for openings to say something about God during the conversation. You know, I don't know what may happen, but somebody may say something like maybe somebody is battling cancer or somebody is sick of some kind. And there you may probably want to say, well, you know, I know of somebody in my family who has the same battle. And what do? You pray. God, and you could even say, if that person has been delivered, that God has delivered the individual and God has brought healing. Go to your neighbors. A great percentage of people do not know the people live next door to them. And that's kind of sad. That everybody, they press a button, the door goes up, they drive in, press the button, the door comes down. In some cases, you never see somebody. But make a special effort to get to know your neighbor. Don't just hope that it will happen, but make a special effort to know it. Maybe you may find out that somebody is sick. And you may want to take something to them. Maybe some food, a covered dish, or, you know, make a special soup or whatever and take it over and says, hey, you know, I'm from next door and I just want you to have this. Maybe a new neighbor move into your neighborhood, somebody new. And you want to make them feel welcome. Take a welcome gift to them. It could be a basket of fruits. It could be some homemade cookies. And just tell them, you know, welcome to the neighborhood. And you might probably be the only one that would be that person to say welcome to them in the neighborhood. And that may go a long way. Some of those folks may end up being a part of your church. And so do that. Who do we go to? We go to our co-workers. A lot of times you meet in the break room for lunch. Maybe a couple of you are there together. Everybody's opening the lunch or whatever. Maybe you could offer to pray. Hey guys, do you mind if I pray for the food? A lot of times they would say that's okay. And you may probably say to someone, you know, Mary, I've noticed that you're not yourself this morning. What's happening? And that person may start to open up. Oh, mom is not doing well. Or my boyfriend walked out of me. Or my husband said to me this morning or this week that he wants a divorce. You never know what's going to happen. But once you give people the opportunity, they're going to begin to talk and to let you know what's going on. Go to the mailman or the mailwoman. These people drop your mail every day. Give them a nice thank you card, maybe a letter or something with a scripture in it. Christmas is coming and you want to probably give them a special gift. But be nice to the mailman. And in all of these things, you are building relationship as you are thinking of going out. To your lawn care worker, give the person a drink. They probably don't need a drink. Most of them carry their own bottled water. But is the thought, is the gesture. And a lot of times, those guys will probably turn off their equipment and spend 2 or 3 minutes with you because you give them a drink. And what did Jesus say? Inasmuch as you have done it to one of the least, my brethren, you have done it unto me. And so do it to your lawn care guy. Do it to your garbage man. The garbage man comes around and picks up your garbage every single day. And they just pull up there, and in no time, the guy jumps off the truck, pick up the barrel or whatever, throw it in, and they're gone. Lately, I've been leaving cookies for the garbage guy. And I always have empty boxes around. And I had a handwritten note, cookies for the garbage guys. And I leave it there, and they pick it up all the time. And you may want to probably, sometimes you might be there when they're picking up the garbage, sometimes you are not there. But do something for the garbage guys. And I know they would appreciate that. Again, all of this is building relationship. How about the store clerk when we talk about going? The person in the store. You walk in and the individual is there packing up the shelves, rearranging stuff because we made a mess. We pulled things up and dropped them down, whatever. What do you say to the store clerk? Thank you for making things easier for me to find. And the person may look at you, no one has said thank you to me before. This is my job. And you said, well, thank you. And the person would say probably thank you back. But and the next time you walk into the store, guess what's going to happen? Hi, hello, you know, you're building relationship. You're waiting for the opportunity to share Jesus Christ. To your playmate, a lot of you play golf, pickleball, racquetball. Some of you know I play racquetball twice a week. And one of the guys I play with is like 86 years old. And you have to be a teenager to keep up with him. And he hasn't been doing well. And sometimes he missed the times when we play. And one of the other guys is a chiropractor in Bellevue, and they are very close friends, and he will give us an update. And we will pray for him even right there before we start playing. And I know some of you like to play golf, and maybe somebody is having a bad day, and the ball end up in the freeway instead of the fairway. And a lot of times people wrap their golf club around an oak tree in anger and maybe walk away. There is an opportunity. One, to do a follow-up call. Hey, you know, how are you doing? I know you're having a bad day, you know. Can we meet for coffee or something? Do something like that, building relationship. Go to the cashier. All of us run into cashiers every single day when you go to the store. What do you say to the cashier? Address the person by name. A lot of time they have their name tag. And you could say something, you know, like, Mary, how is your day going so far? Is there something in your life or your family that I can pray for today? And the person may open up and says, pray for myself, pray for my brother, pray for somebody who might be sick. And a lot of times, you know, you're paying for what you have, and you reach out into your pocket and you're bringing out the change. Maybe it costs $5.10. Oh, you carry rocks in your pocket? I said, yeah. I said, these are not just ordinary rocks. These rocks are special. These rocks represent Jesus Christ. Maybe at some time I would like to talk to you about this special rock, who is Jesus. And you may start something right there that you never know. And so Jesus Christ is wanting us. He's wanting us to go to make it a deliberate, intentional on our part to go out and represent Jesus Christ and do that. Folks, there are a lot of people who are dying and going to hell. And as Christians, we have the message of Jesus Christ. And we have missed so many opportunities to tell people about Christ. Let's tell ourselves this morning that we are not going to miss any more opportunities, but we are going to be there to tell people about Jesus Christ. And I trust that as we do this, that we would believe the words of Jesus that says that, hey, my Father has given me the power and the authority, and I've given you the power and the authority to go. I'm giving you that power and authority to make it a lot easier for you to share Jesus Christ. Let's go and let's do it. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you again for all that you have done for us. We thank you for giving us Jesus Christ. We thank you, Jesus, for what you have done. We thank the disciples who carry out the work of Jesus Christ when he parted with them. And now that responsibility has become ours. For us to go out and to shine our light. For us to go out and be the salt. And for us to go out and live a life that portrays Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord, for giving us the opportunity to do this. And help us that we will be keen enough to know when you want us to speak about your love, about your goodness. We thank you and we praise you. In Jesus' name.